This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
There's no way that you're going to sit here and say that, yeah, when Chris makes a mistake, when he messes up, that we don't bring it back up on the show. Buy out Alex Rodriguez. Exactly. Exactly.
The best part of that whole Canty clip is at the end when he just quits on it.
Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rodriguez. You got to know when the ride is over, Rico. You got to know.
This is DCR.
It was just not going to come out, man. It wasn't going to happen.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 7 o'clock hour. Damian Woody at 7:30 this morning. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Chris, you're still alive with your champion, right? Who'd you pick to win the whole thing?
Gonzaga, Dave.
All right, so you're very much alive.
Yeah,
and Rick,
you
also took Gonzaga, right?
I took Gonzaga, yeah.
RJ Santillo, for some godforsaken reason, took Iowa to win the whole thing. So he's still alive as well.
How's Illinois working out?
Yeah, but he did the same thing you did.
Well played, RJ. Well played.
I still think Illinois might have a better chance to win the whole thing than Iowa, even at this very moment.
Yeah, you're right. They could come back into the tournament. They could get voted back in by the fans.
They got the Phantom of the Opera at point guard. He's turned the ball over left and right last night.
Yeah, if the American Idol bring back your favorite host on a text-to-win contest happens, then Illinois is back in.
And Santiago had, who did you have, Raymond?
I can't even remember.
You don't know who you took?
I hasn't slept. He hadn't even slept.
I can pull the bracket up, but I can't even remember who I put down as the winner. I think I did have Gonzaga.
All right, so everybody's alive but me. Great.
Speaking of game shows, by the way, you guys know this. My kids love The Masked Singer. In the history of The Masked Singer, I have never gotten I have never gotten somebody as quickly as I did when we watched it last night.
Like, who was Clue last Package, night?
I don't know if it was on. We always watch it on DVR, so I don't know. I think it plays, Sunday nights. I don't know when it plays. But we watched it last night. And the second the Clue Package started, I said, that's Caitlyn Jenner. Boom! She got voted off. It's Caitlyn Jenner. Quickest I've ever gotten it. I was impressed with myself.
Cassie, congratulations
know
to
that?
You.
I was like, I have no idea. I just got it. Put the clues together. She was the Phoenix.
I've never seen the show. I don't know anything about the show.
It's a good show.
Yeah?
Yeah, they come out. They obviously get the costumes on, and then you see the Clue Package, and then they sing. A lot of them are really good singers. Some of them can't sing.
How was she? Could she sing?
Nah, she was not a good singer. No.
Was this the one Gronk was on at one point?
Yes.
Yes. You're so excited.
Yes.
Yes. What was he? Was he awful?
He did not sing well. He danced all right.
But you got that one pretty quickly, didn't you, Rico?
I got that one pretty quickly too.
Yeah.
Well, it was Fugazi too. The first episode they had the snail got voted off, and it was Kermit the Frog. It was legitimately Kermit the Frog.
Did you say a snail?
He was dressed as a snail.
But it was actually Kermit the Frog.
So, but then
singing as Kermit?
No, it was actually Do you not understand the premise of the story? It's a celebrity.
I didn't know the show existed until you mentioned it. 35 seconds.
It's a celebrity. It's a celebrity dressed in a costume, and they give the people clues, like Jenny McCart. Like there's a panel. They give them Robin Thicke. They give them clues.
All right. So Kermit is dressed as a snail. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, you don't know who it is until they get voted off. If they get voted off.
But they sing, no?
They sing, correct.
Right. So was he singing as Kermit is what I'm saying.
It was, what do you mean, as Kermit? The puppeteer was singing as, but it was actually Kermit. Like, the celebrity was Kermit the Frog.
I understand that, but is he singing as Kermit sounds?
Yes.
Okay, so then I would think that'd be a very easy one to get then.
Well, no, it wouldn't, because you think it's going to be a person. You know, they don't let you know that it's going to be a puppet.
You know, this is a letter W.
Like, they actually mention, like, when you hear him sing, like, you're like, oh, that kind of sounds like, this person's voice sounds like
this sounds
Kermit,
like a terrific like,
could
show.
Could be Kermit the Frog, could be Pat Mahomes. Just don't know.
Pat Mahomes would be a good guess.
I'm surprised you were as dialed in, Rico, with Caitlyn Jenner. Caitlyn Jenner?
Just the clues, the voice. Yeah, but she got a very distinct voice.
Okay, like, was Travis Scott one of the clues?
Well, but you know how much my wife watches Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Gotcha. You know what? You're right. You're right. I forgot about that.
All right. Is it okay if we talk about the NBA, or should we continue down this road?
I don't know if we're there yet.
Whatever you like. Right, we could do Coming to America, too. We could talk about that.
Yeah.
It was a terrific movie, yeah.
Oh, it's bad.
Really well done. All right. We're going to the NBA. We're going to the NBA.
You want to relive this? You really want to relive this?
I think we need to give the Knicks fans an opportunity to call us and vent over last night's horrendous call. Now, Jay Williams, I think it's a horrendous take. You can't call a foul in that moment. If he takes two hands and he pushes him in the back and he winds up in the first row, fine. But in that moment, that's a ticky-tack foul call, late stages. It's an awful call. And let's be fair, it cost the Knicks the win last night. Danny Green, big shots, but that cost the Knicks the win last night. Terrible.
The thing I hate about it, Dave, is that the officials decided the outcome of the game, not the players. And for a closely contested ball game, it was physical, it was back and forth the entire time. For the officials to take the game out of the players' hands and to make that call on Julius Randle and give Tobias Harris two free throws, that's absolutely unacceptable. So I can completely understand where Julius Randle is coming from with his post-game commentary addressing the officials, as well as Tibbs and him not wanting to talk about the officials because he doesn't want to get fined. I think they have a legitimate beef. The Knicks were hosed last night with giving them that call. That said, the Knicks did have opportunities to win that game. If they were a little bit better with their free throw shooting down the stretch, I think we're talking about a different outcome. But the fact that they were able to take the team that's the best in the Eastern Conference from a record standpoint down to the wire, another closely contested game against the Sixers, you got to feel good about where this Knicks team is at.
Yeah, but enough of the silver lining with these losses already.
But that's all you got right now, Dave.
I'm sick of it, though. I mean, give me the win, for God's sakes. I'm not going to sit here anymore in a game you should have won and you barely narrowly lost and sit here and, well, it's so great because the Knicks are competing against the good teams. Win the game.
Well, but you probably shouldn't have won it.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. You probably shouldn't have won it.
I mean, you shouldn't have and then you should have.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you scored 15 points in the first quarter. You're down 14. You go on a 13-0 run to end the first half. Somehow, someway, you're only down a point. And then you're right. It was a roller coaster, right? It was up and down, up and down. But, I mean, Tobias Harris has two free throws to ice the game. Misses both. And then Julius Randle, tucked into the corner, hits a three that bounces off the rim and somehow, someway, goes in. But then getting to the call, if you want to be that guy that wants to go, you know, letter of the law, even if it was reviewed, it would have still been a... No, I mean, you also have to take in how that game was officiated the entire game, how physical that game was.
Yeah.
How many plays that were more physical than that were let go during the course of the game last night? 50?
It was a physical, it was a defensive battle, and it was really physical. And that did, in my opinion, and I don't care what, no one's going to change my mind, that did not affect Tobias Harris's ability to get that rebound. Nerlens Noel was going to get that rebound. And then he mugged Nerlens Noel on the way down. And there's a difference between pushing off and just having your hand on somebody's back. Yeah, his arm was extended, but it wasn't like he really he didn't really shove Tobias Harris.
No. And I don't think it impacted the play. I like you said, and I agree with you, I don't think that rebound is going to Tobias Harris. If Julius Randle does not push him, is Harris getting that rebound?
No.
No. So no. Then it's an awful call. Then it's
not even
a terrible
play,
call.
Really. I mean, if you watch the play, like, I mean, Jay Williams, like, box out. Well, he was late getting over there. I mean, he was in no position to box Tobias Harris out anyway.
Disgusted with Jay Williams this morning, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it did lead to a drop, though, which is nice that he came on the show. They will live in infamy.
Quick
that
break.
Will
never Jay go away. Williams on the other side. Santi, what would it take for me to make that go away forever?
There you go.
What would it take?
Show me the money.
What would it take, though? Let's get down to brass tacks. How much money is it going to take?
How much you paying?
What, you tell me, what are you looking for?
Don't tell him, Santi. Speak first, die first.
Could
speak
a shower?
You're making the offer.
Speak
so
first, die first.
Let's. You can open the negotiations there.
Would
and we can do this off the air if you want.
100 American dollars make that go away forever.
Keep going.
Wow. Really?
I mean, American dollars as opposed to what? Rubles? What are we doing?
As opposed to anything.
Crowns?
Right? What are we
as
doing?
As opposed to anything. How about 200 American dollars?
What are we, bidding war here? What's going on?
I want to know what the line is to make that
this
go away.
Like, this is like get them with Kenny Golladay.
See, I don't think you do want it to go away.
Oh, no,
I think you kind of enjoy this.
No, I'd be perfectly fine if.
All right, quick break.
I never said
Jay
it.
Williams on the other side.
You know, I'd be a fan of that going away. 250.
Ooh, now we're talking, Santi.
250.
Keep going.
Oh, ooh. Come on. Wow, you're extorting me.
I like it, Santi.
You're extorting me.
This is not my choice. This is your choice.
It's like you're like Tony Soprano.
How much is
here?
It worth
Come
to
on.
You? Keep doing this.
Release the video. Release the video, please. And we'll get rid of this clip.
Release the video.
Yeah, I think that would happen. Yeah.
No. You know what? Forget it. 250, and it wasn't even an official offer, but the fact that you just keep going? Ridiculous. Josh in Queens. Josh, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. If we're talking about the Knicks, though, at this point, I kind of agree with Dave. You know, like, this is the second time we played the Sixers in a couple weeks, and honestly, we should have won both of those games without them having a beat. But, yeah, the calls at the end of the games, I mean, it is what it is at this point. Knicks play physical. It's gonna happen, but I agree with Dave. I need to see some wins, finally. The silver linings are getting a little old.
Well, here's the thing, Josh. Even without Embiid, the Sixers are a better team than the Knicks. From a talent standpoint, they are a better team. And so the fact that you were actually in both of those games to the very end, I think you have to have some positive feels about where your team is at. Now, I know you don't like the way that you lost, but I mean, the fact that this team is right there and that you're talking about the Knicks being in the postseason picture.
For a confidence level, they need it. You know, like, they finally just need that win to, like, you know, certify that things are going well, even though from a viewer standpoint, we see that they're playing extremely well. Obviously, like you said, they're competing with the number one and number two teams when they do play them. But I just feel like they need that over-the-top confidence win to get the team even, you know, going for that playoff push.
See, Josh, I don't see that, man. When I watch the Knicks play, they look like a team that's confident. I don't think that they're hinging on the outcome of every single game to affect their confidence. I think they believe in what they're doing. They believe in what Tibbs is selling. It's just a matter of being able to get the results. And until they add more talent to this roster, their margin for error in games like we saw last night against the better teams is going to be slim to none. And that's exactly what happened. Like, because of this team is where they're at from a talent standpoint, like, in a lot of those games against the best teams in the NBA, it's going to come down to a call or two or a break or two going your way. And unfortunately, last night, when it mattered the most, it went against the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, you can't miss 10 free throws.
That also helps.
I mean, that would help. Here's the other thing, though, too. And I get it. And I think Dave gets it, too. Because, I mean, again, you're frustrated. Like, watching the second half of that game this morning, I mean, it's gut-wrenching. I can only imagine if you're one of the players. Right, like, there's only so many of these kind of losses that you can take. Like, they wear on you.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
But I think the problem with us now is, I think the expectations for this team are probably a little unfair. Like, we're all of a sudden, like, talent wise, they're not close to Philly. They're not.
No.
Like, and it's sheer will and effort that puts them in these spots.
But here's the thing, you're right. If I sit there before the game, are the Knicks better? Can they realistically on paper compete with Philadelphia? No, they can't. But in the heat of the moment, they were well within that, you know, their chances to win that game. They were right there. They had a chance at the end of regulation. They had multiple chances at the end of overtime. They had the lead in overtime. And it's frustrating to never, you know, get the win in this scenario. So it is,
but that's the difference, though, Dave. But that's the difference, though. I mean, they put themselves in these positions where they can win these games against really good teams. But that's the difference between being a really good team and being the Knicks right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is that instead of winning these close games, they lose these close games because they don't really have. I mean, outside of Julius Randle, and last night it was Alec Burks. He did a great job, but still, you don't have another guy. And Alec Burks ends up missing the easiest shot he probably took all in the fourth quarter in overtime.
And then beyond that, Rico, how often can you depend on Alec Burks to be the guy we saw last night?
Not often.
No.
Not often. I mean, it's like a four times a year kind of thing. Yeah. Guest on DCRPRV, the Goodyear Hotline. Spend your tax return wisely, guys. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Tune out the nonsense. Tune into Straight Talk. You know, you guys are bad guys because now you have me nervous on every single word. On everything I'm saying, I'm like, if I mess this up, it's going
to
come back.
That's a you problem, Dave. We're not doing that to you. That's you doing that to you.
Jay Williams on the other side.
He puts the people.
How are you going to blame us for that?
He puts the people against us is what he does.
That's what he does. He plays the victim very well. Very well. Very well.
He is.
Beautifully.
Yeah.
You're right. I am.
That's why Kay doesn't like you. Because you make out Rico to be a bad guy.
Because anybody that isn't, you know, slobbering all over Rick is a bad guy. I mean, Michael has this bizarre. We're not going to go there. 800-919-3776.
That's what it is.
Can feel it. Can smell it.
What's the matter?
Jealousy. I can see it all over your face.
Jealous? Why would I be jealous?
Well, because it's a relationship you don't understand for some reason. You just don't understand it. And on top of the fact is Kay always, always will stand up for me. Your guy Don, we break bread? No. No chance. Right. First time he gets a chance to take a shot, boom, shot.
That's fine. I'm an easy target. You know what? I'm popular. People love me. I'm a man of the people. You want to take shots? You can take shots.
And obviously it's hard for you to pronounce Jay Williams.
800-919-3776. Alex Rodriguez. Conversation maybe coming.
Last
no,
year,
all right.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris, you had a terrible sports weekend. Virginia loses, and LeBron goes down with looks like a severe ankle injury. So now the Lakers are without Anthony Davis, without LeBron James. You can't feel good about this right now.
No, I don't feel great about it at all, Dave. I mean, Solomon Hill goes barreling into LeBron James's knee. I mean, you're lucky that it wasn't anything worse than what it is, Dave. I mean, because that thing looked ugly in real time. Like, it happened in the second quarter of that game, LeBron James in that pick-and-roll situation with Montrezl Harrell. And then, I guess, Rondo gets his hand in there and tips the ball away. And then Solomon Hill is just diving into LeBron James's knee trying to get the ball. And it's just like, man, I mean, I'm glad it's not worse. I mean, LeBron, I don't know what that dude is made out of, man, but the fact that he was even able to stay in that game for that next possession and then he knocks down a three before he goes into the locker room, I mean, that just shows you how tough of a guy he is. But, I mean, this is something that you're worried about in terms of the seeding in the Western Conference, because that's going to matter in terms of being able to create the easiest road for him to try to get back to the finals.
It's always jarring when it's LeBron James, too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because he never gets hurt.
No, never. I mean, he's got to go down as one of the most durable athletes that we've ever seen.
That's a part of his greatness. The fact that he is always out there.
Always available. Yeah, but this is huge for them, though. I mean, they, like you mentioned, Dave, no Anthony Davis, no LeBron James. Now, do I think does it matter for them where they end up finishing when
no,
it's all said and done?
But can you tell me that both guys will be healthy come playoff time?
I would feel better about LeBron James being healthy. I don't know what the story with AD is with that calf. That makes me nervous.
Yeah, but
the
more time you can give him, the better off it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
Like the last thing you want is to try to rush him back like what happened with the Warriors and KD a few years back. Like, you try to give him as much time as you can. And still, with them being, a top three seed in the West and tied with the Suns in the win column for the second most in the conference, like, you feel like they're still in a decent spot. Now it's just a matter of, can this team stay afloat with both of those guys being out?
Probably not. But again, do they need to? I don't think they need to. If those guys are healthy, there's no way Phoenix is beating them in the postseason.
Well, yeah, Dave, I hear what you're saying, but this is about competing for a championship. And a part of that is making sure that you have the easiest road to get to said championship. You don't need every game or every series going to a game seven. Like, you're trying to save up as much in the tank for LeBron and AD as you possibly can, so when they get to the NBA Finals and they're going up against the Brooklyn Nets, that they're at full strength and they've got as much gas as they possibly could at that moment.
Well, right now, put you on the spot. Who's winning the NBA title? Right now, Rick.
Right now, put me on the spot?
Yep.
Am I assuming health?
Take it all into account.
No,
I mean, you're taking into account the Anthony Davis, LeBron James injuries. You have to.
I would still lean towards the Lakers because I think I could actually sit here and make the argument just because what LeBron James is able to do with his body, how he takes care of his body.
It's unbelievable, man.
It's amazing, man. He's in year 18. I mean, you can't say enough great things about LeBron James. I could sit here and make the argument that this is in the best interest of the Lakers that he's missing time right now.
Oh, I don't agree with that. He's got a severe ankle injury.
He walked off the court. He stayed in the game. He walked off the court. I mean,
he buried that three too. He buried
like, that. I mean, that. And RJ just says in my ear, he says, you're not answering the question. Right now, who are you taking to win the championship?
I would still take the Lakers right now.
You take the Lakers.
Because I think he's
going
to be back. And he's going to be rested.
Dave, I'm not betting against my Lakers.
He's still going to be rested.
That's just not going to happen.
You're missing my point. The what happened last year with the Lakers winning in the bubble? You have to take into account that LeBron James had all that time off leading into the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So he was fully rested as opposed to, I mean, you're seeing him with no Anthony Davis. Like, he's out, like, he's legitimately trying to win the MVP. Like, well, he wants to win the MVP. So he's exerting himself at a high level to try to win the MVP.
Yes, so the now rest of his body gets to rest the rest of the season. You're right.
So he's rested for the play. I mean, this is not like, you know, all of a sudden all these pieces were put together on the fly, and they need, you know, to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they won a championship last year. You bring LeBron James and AD back healthy? Yeah, I still like
question mark. All right, so you mentioned MVP. Your prohibitive favorite to win the MVP right now is?
Prohibitive favorite right now to win the MVP?
Right now, at this moment, after the injury.
Jim Harden.
Not even close. I know that's what you want to push, but not
still
even
Embiid?
Close.
Is it still Embiid?
Nope. He's third. Almost even money now is a guy you can't even mention. It's amazing. This guy gets no respect.
Jokic?
Jokic is plus 110. He was plus 200. Now he's plus 110. How about this?
Where's Dame Lillard on that list?
Plus 1400. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. LeBron goes from plus 150 to plus 450. Embiid was plus 600, stays there. Giannis, with a huge jump, goes from plus 1,400 to plus 750. Harden stays the same at plus 1,000. Curry stays the same at plus 1,400. And Lillard goes from plus 2,000 to plus 1,400.
Could we just quickly go by, again, I don't like, there should be two different awards. Do we agree with that? There should be two different awards?
What, a best player and a most valuable player?
Most outstanding and then most valuable?
Yeah. But
because let's take those odds out of it for a quick second. Now I'm going to ask both of you the question. If we went strictly on how the award is defined, most valuable player, so most valuable player to that team.
So let's define it like this. If you take this guy off the team, who has the biggest loss from that, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Julius Randle's right there.
Okay, now you're getting a little bit, I would agree, but you're getting a little bit crazy. I was thinking more along the lines of like if you took, like, the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler are not good. Jimmy Butler is a very important part of that team.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
What about Chris Paul? What about what Chris Paul has done with Phoenix?
Remarkable. I mean, they could wind up at the top seed in the West.
And they're 28-13 right now. That's huge.
Huge.
Damon Portland is huge. I don't know, man. I don't like how the award is.
You're really bothered by that.
You are bothered by that.
It's most valuable. They vote it's best player on best team usually. It's most outstanding season. I don't know. It bothers me for some reason. I don't know why it bothers me so much.
It greatly bothers you.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Terrifically talented Damian Woody. Good morning, Damian. How you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
We are very, very well. I want to start by asking about the Giants. I haven't felt great about what they've done, and I feel much better now. The signing of Golladay sounds like Jackson very well might sign as their second corner. How do you feel overall about what the Giants have done in their future this coming season?
Well, I mean, listen, the big one is Golladay, you know, because this is the important stage as far as the Giants' evaluation of Daniel Jones. That was why you signed Golladay. Is Daniel Jones going to be the future of your franchise? So when you look at the offense, they've addressed, you know, particularly at the skill position, all the positions are addressed. So for me, there's no reason why this offense shouldn't be a top 10 type of offense. And the only thing that would be holding it back, in my opinion, is if Daniel Jones doesn't take the next step at the quarterback position.
So, Damian, landscape of the NFC East. I know it's early, but, I mean, we're, you know, teams making moves and everything else. Where would you put the Giants as far as the NFC East is concerned?
Well, listen, I mean, their offense is as stacked as anyone in the NFC East. We got to see what the offensive line is going to look like, obviously, but you're getting Saquon Barkley back this year, who's one of the best running backs in the league. And so, for me, they should be right there. They should be right there with Dallas and Washington football team. Everyone knows the Philadelphia Eagles are in rebuild mode, but the way the Giants defense played last year, I mean, I'm putting the Giants right there with Dallas for me as far as teams that I expect to win that division.
Damian, put a grade on Joe Douglas and what he's done in free agency, and what's the best pickup you think Gang Green had?
I think, in my opinion, Chris, I think Joe Douglas has done a pretty good job in free agency. We all know anyone who knows Joe Douglas and his background, he's a draft guy. He's a draft and develop guy. He's one to supplement the roster with the free agent moves. I like the Carl Lawson, you know, signing in free agency. Mm-hmm. I think he's due to be, you know, he's due to break out, especially in this scheme that Robert Saleh is going to implement on defense. Corey Davis is an underrated guy. He's another young guy. There's a theme to a lot of these signings. They're still young guys that have the potential to take it to the next level. So, I mean, me personally, I would say a B. There's still a couple of areas that need to be addressed, particularly the cornerback position. But I think with all the draft picks, those things are going to get addressed in the draft.
You kind of said quarterback. Let me ask you, Damian Woody here with us on 98.7 ESPN. Everyone has their opinion on what the Jets should do, assuming they don't bring in the veteran quarterback. What do you think the right move for them is? Is it to keep Darnold and play this back again, or is it to move on and draft the highest graded quarterback on your chart?
Well, listen, I think I'm leaning towards drafting the highest rated quarterback that's on the board. I mean, because it's more than on the field. We can have a debate about, you know, who has the better upside on the field. But a lot of these decisions also is based off the field, the economics, the business of football. And when you have an opportunity to reset, you know, your quarterback deal, that gives you a great opportunity to really stockpile the roster with a quarterback who's relatively cheap for the next 5 years plus. So I think if I'm the Jets, I'm going to go with the college quarterback in order to reset the contract.
Damian, where do you – I mean, I asked you the same question about the NFC East. I'll ask you the same question about the AFC East. Obviously, New England spent a ton of money. Buffalo is the team that won the division, and Miami should have made the playoffs anyway. Where would you slot in the Jets in the AFC East?
I mean, listen, right now you have to put them fourth right now because we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to look like. All right? And when you look at the other teams in the AFC East, Buffalo's not going anywhere. Buffalo, even with all the moves that New England Patriots made, Buffalo, to me, in my opinion, is still the team to beat in the division. New England's going to bounce back. Miami, you know, should have made the playoffs last year, but they got a ton of draft picks to really stock this roster up even more. So those are three big dogs right there in your division that the Jets are looking up at, trying to catch those guys. So right now, I got to put the Jets last in the division.
Damian, taking a step back from the locals and looking at the NFL's landscape, Peter King is reporting that the NFL owners at the end of this month are going to vote on a sky judge in stadiums to help with some of the replays and help assist the on-field officiating crews. Is that something that you would be in favor of?
Well, I actually would be. I think that was something that was done in the XFL. Which had a lot of success at, during the time that it was viable. So that would be something that I would be very interested in as far as the NFL is concerned. Listen, Chris, one thing about me, I'm usually a traditionalist. I don't like the NFL, you know, going overboard with a lot of these things. The human element is part of the game, but if we have opportunity to get things right, why not explore every opportunity?
He is Damian Woody. The show is DCR on 98.7 ESPN. I want to circle back to the Giants and just an overall question about offensive linemen. I mean, this was your specialty. You were a really good offensive lineman for a really long time. How much slack do you cut Andrew Thomas? I mean, it's his rookie year. He's your starting left tackle. He's obviously never played in the NFL before. He doesn't have a normal training camp. Obviously, he was banged up, they said, for the entirety of the season. Like, do you look at him and really believe he's going to be a good offensive lineman? Or because of what happened last year, do you say, I have some concerns about him?
No, listen, I think it's too early to make a judgment call on Andrew Thomas. Obviously, he's a talented lineman that came out of University of Georgia. I think part of the reason why people looked at Andrew Thomas the way they did, it's because of some of the other high draft picks at the tackle position in his same draft. Think about it. Tristan Wirfs played like an all-pro, the right tackle from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mekhi Becton in the same city got a lot of notoriety for his play. And then the Wills kid out of Cleveland, he did a heck of a job protecting Baker Mayfield's blindside. So all those guys were drafted around the same time, you know, in the upper part of the draft. they got all the notoriety, and Andrew Thomas, who went the highest of all of them, you know, is still developing and had his issues throughout the whole season.
Damian Woody joins us here on the show. Damian, with everything going on with Deshaun Watson and these lawsuits and everything else, how do you think this affects his ability to get traded?
Well, listen, I think that all of these teams are going to do their due diligence. These are serious allegations levied against Deshaun Watson. You know, this is not something to, you know, that the NFL teams are going to they're going to be careful with it. But at the same time, guys, we've seen talented guys, you know, have opportunities. That's just the way the NFL is. And we're talking about a 26-year-old superstar quarterback, a guy that's a top-5 quarterback in this league that's under contract. That's very appealing to a lot of teams. So, yes, these teams are going to do their due diligence, but make no mistake about it, there's still going to be a lot of teams that's interested in Deshaun Watson's services.
Damian, since we're talking about quarterbacks being traded, I got to bring up Russell Wilson. A lot of smoke around that situation in Seattle. I know the money would say that Russell Wilson is going to be a Seahawk in 2021, but last week Adam Schefter said he wouldn't close the door on Russell Wilson being traded this offseason. Do you think that's something that could potentially happen?
Absolutely. I mean, Chris, think about this. We all thought that Carson Wentz could never be moved with that contract.
Fair point.
And he got moved. So if Carson Wentz can get moved with that terrible contract, what makes you think that that Russell Wilson can't be moved for the right price? I think everything has a price. All bets are off now as far as these quarterbacks and being able to move around the National Football League. I think Russell Wilson can absolutely be moved, especially once we get closer to the draft.
Hey, Damian, let me ask you a quick question as a follow-up. Do you think that the Jets should be involved in any conversations if Russell Wilson could potentially be moved?
Absolutely, Chris. I mean, think about this. You're the Jets. When was the last time that you had a viable quarterback?
Chad Pennington?
Chad Pennington. I mean, think how long ago that was. I mean, you have an opportunity here to get a superstar quarterback in Russell Wilson. That, to me, will give you the opportunity to solve the quarterback position. You can still continue to build out your roster, but once you get that piece figured out, everything else falls in line. So if you're the Jets and you have an opportunity for a guy like Russell Wilson, why not pounce on that? Why not? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Damian, great stuff, man. We appreciate catching up with you. We will talk to you soon, I hope.
All right. Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
All right. There you have it. Islanders fan. Big Islanders fan, Damian.
Huge Islanders fan. He's really smart. He made the right choice. You know what, though? Islanders back to the winning ways, just blowing out Philly.
Bet that Rangers win on Saturday, huh?
It was a nice win.
Gorgeous goal.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, what he just said is a great point as far as what the Jets should do with the second overall pick or keep Sam Darnold. Look at the division. Look at where you're at in the division.
Mm.
Like, you had a really good offseason. We still got to go through the draft. But you're still, and I don't even think it's debatable, you're still the fourth best team in the division.
Yes. Sure.
Okay, so is how many years till that changes?
It depends what you do.
Even depending on what you do, those teams are so far ahead of you, and you still
are. Yeah, it's years.
Okay, so even if it's a couple years,
yeah,
right? Like you say it's 2 years to where you're at a level where you can compete with this team, right? Like the team is, you know, he's drafted well, made good signings and everything else. But by that time, if you keep Sam Darnold, you're not paying him $30 million a year. Like his fifth-year option is going to be close to $25 million.
Yes,
that's right. And then you got to sign him.
That's what I mean. And I don't care how good your GM is, it's not as easy to win when your quarterback's making that kind of money.
Yeah.
So why not just reset it?
Yeah, it seems like that would match up with the timeline and when you would expect that you could compete in this division. But, I mean, at the same time, you can't just take a quarterback for the sake of making that change. Like, it's got to be a guy that you have conviction on, a guy that you believe in. And only Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh have the answer to that question. Like, I know everybody's saying Zach Wilson and then Justin Fields and Trey Lance, but, I mean, if they don't like any of those available options, then,
Don't you find that hard to believe, though? We talk about this being one of the better quarterback classes we've seen, and they don't like two guys in this class?
Yeah, Dave, I mean, listen, I hear what you're saying. But, I mean, we said that about the quarterback class in 2018 when we had five guys go in the first round. And really, you're talking about, what, three of those guys panning out?
But all the Jets have to do is identify the second guy. So if you told me three of these five guys.
Yeah, that's all they had to do in 2018, too. How'd they do with that?
I think you have a lot. What do you want me to tell you? But all you need to do is identify the Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson of this draft. There's no way you can tell me that only Trevor Lawrence is going to be good from this draft.
But I mean, here's the other thing, though, to take into account. Because Chris is right. Like, that's what makes it a crapshoot. Like, you don't always make the right decisions. But at least you'll be in a spot here if you do like one of the quarterbacks, that you'll actually be set up with there's actually talent around him now.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's not, I mean, you're not doing the same thing you did to Sam Darnold to whoever you draft.
Whoever the quarterback is going to be, there's legitimate talent around that quarterback. Let's get to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Jack in Morristown. Good morning, Jack. Hello.
Jack, what's going on, Jack?
Oh, just terrible. He was there, now he's not. Let's go to
Jack, you there?
Didn't happen. By the way, Katie Couric finished her Jeopardy run on Friday.
How'd she do?
She was very good.
She was solid.
They've all been good.
Yeah. But
They've all been good.
But
Ken
Dave,
Jennings
it feels like it belongs to Ken Jennings, though.
He's really
They need
good.
To give it to Ken, man.
Although, I don't know. Do you watch it a lot, Chris?
Yes.
The executive producer, Mike Richards, I thought was really good.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. Yeah. He wasn't bad. But Ken Jennings, to me, it just feels right.
I think Blossom takes over starting tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Blossom. Who is Katie Couric?
What?
Who is Katie Couric?
No, they pronounce it.
Really stop it.
I'm not the one that said it. RJ brought it to my attention. He's the one that tried to bury it.
Quick break. Jay Williams. You want to make fun of that? Fine. Katie Couric? I could say Katie Couric. Was it Couric? You going with Couric?
I just go with whatever is the right pronunciation.
And which you say mum. You're going to give me a hard time?
Well, where I'm from, that's how you pronounce it.
No, you're going to say mum.
Mum.
Blachowicz. No. Jan Blachowicz. And this is why people feel badly for me.
Oh, man. It's great.
You know who's hosting next up starting tonight? Edson Arantes de Nacimiento. No. Our friend hosts starting tonight. Dr. Oz.
Hey, now. Hey, now.
Dr. Oz. This is a letter W.
I don't know where that came from. And then, following Dr. Oz, Aaron Rodgers will be the host.
Really?
Yes.
Little Aaron.
That's right. And then Anderson Cooper and Savannah Guthrie and Blossom, like I mentioned.
It's been it's been weirdly quiet around the whole Aaron Rodgers situation in Green Bay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think they throw money at it to fix it.
Rico. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, they're not going to let him leave. Just pay him again.
If they don't restructure his deal, that's not a good sign for how long. I mean, that pretty much would signal that he's going to be gone after the season, no?
Yeah, but they got time to do that, though. I mean, we're just talking about March. Plenty of time to do that.
Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, Dave. What's happening, Dave?
What's up, Ira? How you doing, buddy?
All good. The best show on the air. Best slot, you guys.
I don't know if you guys heard this Saturday. Ira called when I was solo and said that of any show he could possibly listen to in all of sports talk radio, this is his number one choice.
Wow.
Yep. Very smart.
Praise.
And what I miss while I'm swimming, I listen to the podcast. So I always get my full dose of DCR.
Very dedicated.
So, you know, I just heard Damien with Russell Wilson. And as much as I would love to have Russell Wilson, if that was an option, the question I got for the three of you, why would Russell Wilson come to the Jets right now when they haven't upgraded their offensive line? He said he was tired of getting hit in Seattle. What do you think should have happened if he comes to New York?
Because it's New York. That would be the only reason that Russell Wilson will be motivated to come here. It's New York, and the organization would essentially make him a partner. Like, he would have input on everything that's happening from a personnel standpoint, from a scheme standpoint. Like, that's what you could do if you're the Jets to make this attractive. Because you're right, Ira. Based on the personnel, like, there really wouldn't be a lot to incentivize Russell Wilson to want to come run with the Jets. But because you can offer him the biggest platform in all of professional sports, being able to play in the number one sports market, and then you'll be able to, you know, offer him an opportunity to have his input valued within the organization. I think that's what will be on the table. But again, I'm trying to get into the mind of Russell Wilson, and he hasn't come out and said what he really, really wants. Nobody knows exactly what he wants, but I mean, that would be, to me, what would be attractive about playing for the Jets if you're Russell Wilson.
Hey, New York City, I'm here.
Mr. Unlimited.
I mean, that would be the one thing with New York, right? He would have, I mean, as far as his brand is concerned, I mean, he'd have unlimited opportunities if he was the quarterback.
And I don't know that his wife would sneeze at coming to New York either, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know what would be an interesting proposition? If he doesn't get traded because they don't want to eat the $39 million on their cap and they can't figure out what they would do with the quarterback if they traded him, if Daniel Jones wasn't very good this season, if that would be something
if the Giants made a play for him?
After the season, I mean, obviously.
Right. I got to tell you, obviously the thought of Daniel Jones being bad is painful, but the idea that the Giants would move on with Russell Wilson, oof.
That would be something if I was Russell Wilson. You have to consider that.
Well, look what you got. Already you have, I mean, you have Barkley. You're going to have big-time receivers.
Galladay, yeah. And it's New York.
Yeah.
If he wants out, though, he's going to, I mean, there'll be teams. Like, he'll expand his list of teams that he would be traded to.
Of course. And I think you have to. If you're Deshaun Watson and you get dealt, if you're Russell Wilson, you can't just give the organization two teams that you're willing to go to.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on that one. But I do think he gets traded in the next calendar year. I don't know that it happens before this season, but this time next year, we're probably talking about Russell Wilson playing for another team.
It's amazing. Isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's amazing because it's Russell Wilson. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. But on top of it, it's a $39 million dead cap hit.
Yep, it is right now. So the Panthers have said they're absolutely all in, and the Bears continue to knock on the door of Seattle for Russell Wilson, and they won't let it go despite signing Andy Dalton. Here's Adam Schefter on the latest with the quarterback.
The Chicago Bears were rebuffed, and not only were they rebuffed this week, but I'm told that the Bears still are paying attention to Russell Wilson and have not abandoned hopes that they could eventually trade for Russell Wilson. And I think everybody needs to stay tuned to the Russell Wilson situation up to and during the NFL draft. That is the real touchstone moment when we will find out whether the Seahawks are or are not willing to trade Russell Wilson. And I think we have not heard them come out and say to this point, no, we are not trading Russell Wilson. When we hear the Seahawks general manager or head coach, Pete Carroll, say that, then we'll know Russell Wilson is staying put.
The amazing thing to me, guys, is all the experts, you know, Damian Woody and Adam Schefter and Dan Graziano and everyone, they think there's a real possibility this offseason that Russell Wilson is dealt.
Because no one's denied it. And that's the thing. Seattle hasn't come out and said, we're not trading Russell Wilson.
That's because Seattle's probably going to eventually trade Russell Wilson.
I think the only holdup is, what do they do with the position? I mean, if you're going to eat $39 million, you're going to have a cheap alternative.
Yeah.
And the Bears aren't offering them. The Bears aren't offering them a pick that they're going to get their quarterback.
No, the Jets could. The Panthers.
Miami could.
Miami certainly could.
But again, that's why the Jets have. I mean, like you keep saying, the draft starts at two.
Oh, absolutely.
And what the Jets want to do with that second pick.
This Hoops update brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. Eight more games today at 12:10, Oregon and Iowa, followed by Oklahoma and Gonzaga, Abilene Christian and UCLA, Ohio Creighton, LSU, Michigan should be a good game at 7:10 tonight. Colorado, Florida State, Maryland, Alabama, and USC, Kansas, rounding out the night at 9:40, which will make me pretty much sleepless again this evening. That is your College Hoops update. Brought to you by Wendy's. Yes?
Today in sports, what happened? Today in sports, in 1989, what happened? One of the most gruesome, scariest incidents in the history of professional sports.
March 22nd, 1989?
Gruesome.
Gruesome. You said gruesome injury?
Gruesome injury. One of the most gruesome injuries you've ever seen in the history of professional sports.
Well, it's not Theismann.
No, this is like, this is... Come on. What's my favorite sport?
Think about it. the slicing of the Clint Malarchuk neck?
Clint Malarchuk, yeah.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Well, did you even? I didn't even realize this. I'm reading about it right now. That Clint Malarchuk actually played 10 days later.
That is amazing. He almost died.
He almost died, yeah. But it wasn't for the medical staff coming out and treating him as quickly as they did. Yeah, he probably would have.
That happens when somebody's necks get sliced, Dave.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost died. Thank All right, God. Let's go. Santi, I'm sure Jay Williams will be here. Let's go with the three stars.
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
Well, I'll try not to be as morbid as bringing up Malarchuk, but number three is going to go to Blake Griffin. I don't know about you guys, but I feel a way about what the Nets have done here. I almost feel like we
have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
No dunks in 2 years, just comes out with a dunk on his first shot attempt as a Net. I mean, right along with fat James Harden, I got questions.
It was all a scheme.
Number two.
Number two, Chicago Loyola, Sister Jean. I don't know if there's divine intervention or what have you over there, but man, keep it rolling.
So I'm going to get number one, really?
Number one.
You get number one. I mean, I was going to leave it alone.
All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side.
I was actually going to give this to... My concern is for poor young Alex Rothenberg. And
I'm raising... Me.
I worry about the young man that you're turning him into, Dave. I really am concerned about him.
So is my wife, apparently. All right, number one, but not in a positive way. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, of course, it's Rule 76.
No excuses, Plague of Champions. DPHO, Canty Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.